Welcome back, everyone. Ready to dig into something new?
Always up for an adventure. Where are we headed this time?
Well, today we're off to the Canadian prairies, early 1900s. Picture this, the Farndale family, right out of Yorkshire, England. They pack it all up, headed for homesteading life in Alberta.
Oh, wow, the allure of the Canadian West. I can already imagine the stories we'll uncover.
Right. We've got their diaries, letters, and some family accounts passed down. Five brothers, two sisters.
A whole family seeking their fortune on the frontier. Classic.
Yeah, but like, hold your horses. It wasn't all sunsets and open fields.
Right. The romanticized version never is it?
Exactly. So let's get real. The Canadian government was practically giving away land with the Homestead Regulations Act, right?
Oh, absolutely. Trying to attract settlers, populate those vast prairies. It was a huge initiative, you know, a massive social experiment on a scale we rarely see today.
It makes you wonder what those families back in England were thinking. Free land. Why not us? But then they get there and...
Free doesn't mean easy, that's for sure. Imagine leaving everything familiar behind, the language, the customs, the sheer scale of the Canadian landscape. Daunting, to say the least.
Right. And these weren't adventurers or cowboys. These were Yorkshire farmers. So picture this. Martin, the eldest brother, arrives near Trochu, Alberta in 1905.
Trochu. Interesting choice. I mean, we often think of rugged individualists settling the prairies, but Trochu has a rather unique history.
Oh, tell me more.
Well, it was actually first settled by French aristocrats. Can you imagine? So here you have Martin, fresh off the boat, trying to establish a cattle farm next door to, well, essentially gentry.
Oh, wow. That adds a whole other layer to the story. Did they mingle at all? Did Martin ever feel out of place? Like he was a world away, not just geographically.
It's hard to say from the source material. The diaries don't delve into those social dynamics explicitly, but it's certainly something to consider, right?
It really challenges those stereotypical Wild West images.
Exactly. It was a melting pot of cultures, ambitions, and backgrounds all thrown together in this vast new land.
And Martin's experience kind of sets the stage for each sibling finding their own niche, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Like pieces on a chessboard, each making their move.
So take George, for instance. He arrives in 1911, drawn to the Three Hills area. His story isn't so much about social class, but... well, isolation.
Ah, George. A bit of a recluse from what I gather.
Yeah, and there's this almost bittersweet tale of a missed romantic opportunity with a local nurse.
Which just goes to show, even in the harshest of environments, life finds a way. Those human connections, they persist.
It's easy to forget that, right?
Yeah.
We got caught up in the grand narratives, but life's little dramas, they were unfolding on the prairies, just like anywhere else.
Precisely. And those small town dynamics, the whispers, the unspoken longings.
Yeah.
They add a whole other dimension to the story.
Totally. And then there's Jim, also arriving in 1911. His diary is about the transcontinental train journey. Incredible.
Those are gold, like stepping back in time.
Right. Forget your romanticized paintings. He describes it all. The sheer awe of the landscape, the endless skies, but also the discomfort, the delays, the sheer number of people crammed into those train cars.
All chasing a dream, in a way. A new life, a fresh start.
And it wasn't just a journey, was it? It was an experience. And speaking of experiences, the Farndale sisters, Kate and Grace, they had their own versions of prairie life, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. Women on the frontier, a whole other perspective.
So Kate marries William Kinsey, settles in Three Hills. Now, her diaries, they paint a very particular picture.
Of someone who ran a tight ship, wouldn't you say?
Right. Especially about things like drinking, smoking.
Vices, common then, but... was it just strictness, or was Kate clinging to those familiar English values in this new world, overcompensating maybe for all the uncertainties around her?
It really makes you wonder about the pressures on women back then, the roles they felt obligated to uphold even on the frontier.
Absolutely. And you know what they say about rules? They're just begging to be broken.
Huh. And broken they were. There's this almost comical line in the diaries about someone sneaking out for a smoke behind the barn.
You can practically smell the desperation in that secret cigarette.
Yeah.
It's not just disobedience, it's a tiny act of rebellion.
And then you have Grace, who married Howard Holmes, ended up on a ranch. Now, she's a contrast to Kate.
Oh, completely. Grace, she was independent, adventurous, even traveled out to British Columbia, which back then... might as well have been a different planet compared to the prairies.
Right. What a woman. Imagine that Grace, journeying from the prairies all the way to the Pacific coast. What a contrast that must have been. Did her diaries mention any specific observations about the two regions?
Oh, absolutely. She was taken with the beauty of the West Coast. Who wouldn't be? But she almost found it too developed compared to the prairies. It was like she missed that raw, untamed aspect that her brothers were grappling with back in Alberta.
Wow. That really flips the script, doesn't it? We tend to think of progress as this straight line. But for Grace, the prairie, with all its hardships, represented a different kind of freedom.
It's a good reminder that we can't impose our modern values on the past. What we might see as desolate or undeveloped, they saw as full of potential.
Exactly. And speaking of potential, let's talk about William, the brother who settled in Saskatchewan. His story takes a bit of a somber turn, unfortunately, intertwined with the events of World War I.
Ah, yes, William. This is where those personal dreams collide with global events, forces far beyond anyone's control.
His story wasn't unique, of course. Countless young men were swept up in the war effort.
Absolutely. But his experience, surviving the trenches only to succumb to the influenza pandemic shortly after returning home, it really highlights the ripple effects of global events. Even the most remote corners of the world weren't immune.
It makes those romanticized notions of settling the West seem almost naive, doesn't it?
In a way, yes. It reminds us that life back then was precarious. Danger was always lurking, and the future was never guaranteed.
It makes you wonder how things would have played out if one of the other Farndale brothers had been sent to the front lines instead. How would that have reshaped their family history?
It's a question worth pondering. The fragility of life, the choices made, the paths not taken, they all played a role in shaping the family's destiny.
And as if the war wasn't enough, the Farndale family, along with the rest of the world, had to face the Great Depression. Talk about a 1-2 punch.
It really tested their resilience, didn't it?
To say the least. We're talking about Alfred, the youngest brother, and his wife, Peggy, trying to raise a family in Huxley during the 1930s.
Huxley during the Depression, that must have been incredibly challenging.
It was. But their story isn't about grand adventures or striking it rich. It's about simply holding on, putting one foot in front of the other, when the world around them is falling apart.
It's a story of quiet perseverance. The kind that often gets overlooked in the history books.
Absolutely. And those diaries from Huxley, they give us such a vivid picture of daily life. Their son, Martin, later shared memories of encountering wildlife, enduring those brutal Alberta winters, but also the warmth of the community, dances, a local confectionery shop.
Those small details, they remind us that even in the toughest of times, life goes on. People find ways to adapt, to find joy in the little things.
It makes you wonder, though, how those community bonds were tested when Alfred and Peggy ultimately made the heart-wrenching decision to return to England in 1935.
It speaks volumes about the desperation of the times, doesn't it? To leave the only home they'd known for a decade, to uproot their young family.
To go back to a place that probably felt like a distant memory. It makes you realize that the Canadian dream, like any dream, had its share of heartbreak and disillusionment.
The Farndale story is a reminder that history is rarely a straight line. It's full of twists, turns, and unexpected detours.
And yet through it all, you see this incredible resilience, this determination to carve out a life, no matter the obstacles. What do you think kept them going during those difficult years in Huxley?
It's hard to say for sure. Perhaps it was sheer stubbornness. A belief that things would eventually get better. Or maybe it was something deeper, that sense of community, that shared purpose that helped them weather the storm.
It's like they brought a little piece of Yorkshire with them, wouldn't you say? To the vastness of the Canadian prairies.
Absolutely. That resilience, that determination, it seems to be woven into their very being.
Makes you wonder, did it help them adapt back to life in England after all those years?
It's fascinating to consider, isn't it? Did they truly return unchanged? Or did their time in Canada leave an indelible mark, even if it wasn't always obvious?
It's like we've been watching this tug of war between two worlds, their homeland calling them back, but with all the experiences and memories of the new frontier shaping their perspectives.
And their story, it speaks to a larger truth about the immigrant experience, that constant push and pull, trying to reconcile where you come from with where you find yourself.
It's not just a physical journey, is it?
Not at all. It's a journey of identity, of belonging, of constantly redefining what home truly means.
You know, we started with these dusty old diaries, letters tucked away in an attic somewhere. And look where we've ended up.
It's remarkable, isn't it? how these personal stories can open up these broader conversations about resilience, about ambition, about the bittersweet nature of chasing dreams.
That's a good reminder to us all, I think.
Absolutely. To look beyond the history books, the dates, and the names, and remember the human stories at the heart of it all.
Because every family has one, don't they?
They do. Stories of triumph, of hardship, of journeys taken and those not taken.
And within those stories, I think we often find echoes of ourselves. Those universal experiences that connect us across generations.
Precisely. It's why we do what we do, isn't it? To delve into these personal histories and uncover the threads that connect us all.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into the Farndale family's Canadian adventure,
may it inspire you to explore your own family's past. You never know what fascinating tales, what unexpected twists and turns you might uncover.
Because within those stories, we often find not just where we come from, but who we are today.